This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا ومعلمنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اما بعد All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessed gathering. A gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know more about Allah azza wa jalla, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And we've been talking about and going through the book of Riyad al-Salihin, which is compiled by this great scholar and Imam al-Nawawi. And we've covered already 53 chapters. And tonight, inshaAllah, we will continue with the 54th chapter. And the 54th chapter is on Babu Fadlu aw Fadli al-Bukai Khashyat Allah Ta'ala wa Shawqan Ilayh. So tonight's chapter is the chapter of excellence, of weeping out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the excellence when you cry because you fear Allah azza wa jal. And not only that you cry because you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes we cry because we fear Allah azza wa jal, and sometimes we cry because of the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so passionate and we are so loving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we cry. So not necessarily that you only weep and you only cry because you fear Allah azza wa jal. Obviously, you do fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on many occasions you do cry because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say passion of Allah azza wa jal, because of your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first verse that's been mentioned here, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions and he says in Surah Al-Isra, verse 109, وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Qur'an al-Kareem, and they fall down on their faces, prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, weeping and crying to Allah azza wa jal, and this will increase their iman and humility. This will increase their iman and humility to Allah azza wa jal. Because one of the signs of a true servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that sign of humility to Allah azza wa jal, that sign of humbleness. And that's what constitutes and defines ibadah, worship. Worship is that you humble yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal. You show a sign of humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of that sign of humbleness and humility to Allah Azza wa Jal is that you weep to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cry. You cry to Allah Azza wa Jal. You cry because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's also part of the humility to Allah Azza wa Jal. Part of humbleness. Part of submission and slavery and servitude to Allah Almighty. The second verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and Allah azza wa jalla is talking about the disbelievers, أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying to the non-believers, to the disbelievers, are you laughing over the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you amazed and astonished to the words of Allah azza wa jalla, and you are laughing over the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you should be crying from the fear of Allah azza wa jalla? You should be crying when you hear the verses and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Qur'an al-Kareem, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Holy Qur'an, if this Qur'an was to be revealed on a mountain, and we know and we understand and we could imagine how big and humongous and powerful and enforce the mountains are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to be revealed on a mountain, the mountain will shake. The mountain will tremble and shake from the fear of Allah azza wa jal. If this is a mountain, what about you? What about your heart? What about your mind? What about your intellect? What about your soul? What about your spirit? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions about the mountain, that when the mountain hears the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mountain will shake and humble itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fear of Allah azza wa jal. Then what about you? You should also humble yourself when you hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should shake. Your heart must tremble when you hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited. This heart needs to move. Otherwise, this heart is so stiff. This heart is so solid. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Bani Israel, that their hearts became a lot more solid than a rock. If we hear the verses of Allah azza wa jal, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our hearts don't move, then there's something wrong with us. Because our hearts, by default, should be moving when they hear the words of Allah azza wa jal. Naturally, they should be moving. If the mountains and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shakes and trembles and moves when they hear the words of Allah azza wa jal, then you should also tremble and you should move when you hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal addressed the kuffar, the disbelievers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should be crying, not laughing over the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we are not only talking about those disbelievers during the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are talking about the disbelievers during every time. Those who make mockery of the Quran al-Kareem and make mockery of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and laugh over Islam, their hearts should be trembling. Their hearts should be moving when they hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise to the believers, when they hear the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. My brother and my sister, I want you to think about a question throughout this lesson. I want you to think about a question when we are talking about the different ahadiths and the different verses regarding this topic, relating this topic. I want you to think and I want you to ponder and contemplate, when was it the last time that your heart moved when you heard the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was it the last time that you dropped tears when you heard the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was it last time that you cried when you heard the words of Allah azza wa jal? So I want you to continue thinking about the question that I just posed to you. And obviously I need to be the first person, to think about this. When was it last that I cried when I heard the words of Allah azza wa jal? When was it last that my heart moved and trembled when I heard the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let us start with the first hadith that's been mentioned here by Imam An-Nawi. And this hadith has been reported and narrated by Abu Mas'ud. وعن أبي مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اقرأ علي القرآن قلت يا رسول الله أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل قال إني أحب أن أسمعه من غيري فقرأت عليه سورة النساء حتى جئت إلى هذه الآية فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا قال حسبك الآن فالتفت إليه فإذا عيناه تذرفان. So this hadith has been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is one of those companions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam still loved to hear the Quran al-Kareem to be recited from him upon him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam still loved to hear the Quran al-Kareem from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, whoever loves to hear the Quran al-Kareem fresh as it was revealed, hear it from the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is the status of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And enough said, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a group of companions laughing over the shins of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud because he was very short and skinny. So they were laughing. They were laughing over how skinny his shins were. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not laugh at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. By Allah, his shins are a lot more heavier to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the mountain of Uhud. His status. It is the status of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. His love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and why he had protected Islam and protected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam honors him another honor that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam wants Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to recite the Quran al-Karim to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Quran al-Karim was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, اقرأ علي القرآن. Recite the Quran al-Kareem upon me. I want to hear it. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, you want me to recite the Qur'an al-Kareem to you when the Qur'an al-Kareem was revealed upon you? You put yourself in that position where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks you and says to you, read Surah Al-Fatiha to me. Read it. Some of us will jump and say, yeah, O Messenger of Allah, I want to read it. I'm excited. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he thought about it. I'm going to read the Qur'an al-Kareem to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Qur'an al-Kareem was revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an embarrassing moment. So he looked at it as an embarrassing moment. Like, I'll find it very embarrassing. Like, I'll find it embarrassing for me to read the Qur'an al-Kareem to my teacher, let alone to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is requesting Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to recite the Qur'an al-Kareem to him. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, oh, Messenger of Allah, you want me to read the Qur'an al-Kareem to you when the Qur'an al-Kareem was revealed upon you? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Inni uhibbu an asma'u min ghayri. I would love to hear the Quran al-Kareem from someone else beside myself. Subhanallah. Now, this gives me a lot of lessons. Number one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is humbling himself. Yes, I'm the Prophet of Allah, I'm the Messenger of Allah. I am the greatest man to ever step foot on the face of this earth. I am to be the first man to enter the paradise. I am the greatest human being and I am the greatest and the chief of all prophets and messengers. But you know what? I'm going to humble myself and listen to the Qur'an al-Kareem from someone else. Some of us, when they start acquiring knowledge or they've got a bit of knowledge, they think they're above everyone. They're the untouchables now. So now, everyone listens to them and they don't listen to anyone. But now we've got the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is listening to one of his students, to one of his companions. And that companion is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And what companion is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to? He's not going to one of the rich companions or those who are so prominent amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He's going to one of the poor companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. A poor companion. So he tells him, O Messenger of Allah, you want me to recite the Qur'an al-Kareem to you? When the Qur'an al-Kareem was revealed upon you, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, I would love to hear the Qur'an al-Kareem for someone else. And you know what? It's true. Sometimes you get accustomed to your recitation. When you read the Qur'an al-Kareem, you become accustomed to it. But when you listen to the Qur'an al-Kareem from someone else, it does move you more. You'll find a lot more concentration and devotion in the recitation of other people. Because you just got yourself accustomed to your recitation. Even though your recitation can be so devoting, can be so humbling when other people hear your recitation, but you just become desensitized sometimes. You just become accustomed to your recitation. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to hear the Qur'an al-Kareem from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he says, I'd love to hear from someone else. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud started to recite verses from Surah An-Nisa. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is reading. But I want you to imagine, I want you to picture that moment. So when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is reciting to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an al-Kareem, when the Qur'an al-Kareem was revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he collected himself, he gained himself, and he started to concentrate so much that he did not even look in the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to concentrate. And I remember, like, when I was memorizing the Qur'an al-Kareem, and I used to recite the Qur'an al-Kareem or recite the verses that I memorized to my teacher, I would never look him in the eye. I can't. Not because of respect to my teacher, but at the same time, you are so concentrating that you just want to focus on the verses that you are reciting. So you don't want to look in the eyes of your teacher, or you don't want to look in the eyes of anyone else. And I could imagine Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he's reciting the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses in the Qur'an al-Kareem that were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reciting the Qur'an al-Kareem to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, I could imagine that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he's just collecting himself, he is focusing, he's concentrating, he wants to make sure that he recites the Qur'an al-Kareem at the best level and state that pleases the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he recited verses from Surah An-Nisa until he came to the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِن كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that verse, in Surah An-Nisa, O Muhammad, what would you do when we bring it as a witness? We bring you, O Muhammad, as a witness over these people. We bring you as a witness over these people the way we bring other people as witnesses over the people. Now, witness where the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a witness for his nation or other people, here you've got differences of opinions. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is addressing the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, when I recited that verse, I felt that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mood changed. I felt the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became more emotional. So he looked up to see the face of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam told him, Hasbuka al-an, stop over here. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he recited that verse, oh Muhammad, what would you do? What would you do when we bring you as a witness over these nations, the way we bring other people witnesses over their nations? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, stop. That's it. Stop. Stop here. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, I put my head up and I looked at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I could sense how Abdullah ibn Mas'ud sensed the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mood change. He became a lot more emotional. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, I looked at the face of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is weeping and crying. This is who? The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the messenger of Allah. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud started to recite those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to weep and cry. I want to tell you something, my brothers and my sisters. When we hear particular verses and particular stories, the first time we become very emotional over those stories and verses. Then as we hear more of those verses, more of those stories, we become accustomed to them that we no longer feel the emotion anymore. We are no longer becoming emotional over those verses or those stories. We are no longer moved over those stories and over those verses. But look at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Qur'an al-Kareem was revealed to him. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite the Qur'an al-Kareem daily. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum the Qur'an al-Kareem daily. And now the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's a verse or verses from another companion. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had read them so many times, maybe in the thousands of times, and now the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues to be moved. Look at the difference between us and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We become so desensitized that we are no longer moved when we hear those verses anymore. Because we've heard them so many times. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will continue to be moved when he hears those verses, even when he hears them from someone else. Look at the subhanAllah, the difference. Our hearts became so solid that we are no longer moved when we hear the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. We no longer moved when we hear the stories about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum or the stories of the prophets and messengers. Our hearts are becoming so solid that they no longer tremble anymore. They no longer move anymore. And now the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one that Allah revealed the Quran al-Kareem to, and the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran al-Kareem to him, and the one that recited the Quran al-Kareem to the Sahaba and continues to pass on the Qur'an al-Kareem to the Sahaba, he heard verses from the Qur'an al-Kareem, from Surah al-Nisa, and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart moved, and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eyes start to cry. SubhanAllah. What a difference. Huge difference between us and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Huge difference between us and the Prophets and the Messengers and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The second hadith here, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, as Anas ابن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates قال خطب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة ما سمعت مثلها قط فقال لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا فقال فغطى أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجوههم ولهم حنين أو خنين. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon one day. A sermon that I've never heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliver a sermon like this sermon. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to choose his times and moods. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not like some of those typical da'is wherever they are, they want to give everyone and lecture everyone an hour. You know, sometimes people, wherever they go, they want to lecture people for an hour. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be very selective with the times and places, and not only the times and places, but even the mood. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to be very selective of the time, places, and the mood where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will address the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Sometimes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will address the Sahaba for 5 minutes, and other times, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will address the Sahaba for hours. One of those times, the Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman, he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up from Fajr all the way till Isha, addressing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. You know, sometimes we say, I wish I was around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me see how long you're going to last if you're going to sit in that gathering from Fajr till Isha. We've been sitting for the last 20 minutes and everyone's looking at their watch. When is this Sheikh going to finish? Huh? Ya dahri, my back. There's no more room on the wall. Yeah. I saw that in your eyes, huh? Alhamdulillah. There's no more room. My thighs, my knees are aching. Now the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are sitting with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for hours, to the extent that some of them will make sure that they do not miss out on any of the gatherings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says that I lived far away from the Masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had a neighbor, and it wasn't possible for me always to go and attend every prayer with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I agreed with my neighbor that he goes one prayer and I go the following prayer. And if there's anything the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes mention to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or conveys to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, each one that was present with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey to the one that was absent. That's how keen and eager they were towards making sure they do not miss out on any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is conveying or passing to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had delivered a sermon that day. So he's talking about that sermon on that day, in which he had never heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliver such a sermon like that. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. So he only mentioned that part or one phrase which maybe struck or maybe captivated the attention of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you knew what I know, if you just know what I know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you would have laughed a bit and cried a lot. You know how we laugh? Every day, obviously it's natural, it's not haram. You don't have to be frowning every single day. So don't misunderstand me, misquote me. But we laugh a lot more in a day than what we cry. That's natural. Allah created us this way. So there's no harm and there's no fault in that. We laugh a lot more than what we cry. We smile a lot more than what we frown. Maybe some people do frown a lot more. Allahu alam. But in general, you laugh a lot more than what you cry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's addressing the Sahaba and he told them a lot of things. Heaps of things about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encountered, because you're talking about a man that saw the paradise with his own eyes, and he saw the hellfire with his own eyes, and he spoke directly to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Jibreel comes so often to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, coming on behalf of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you're talking about a man who is an ocean of knowledge, and not only an ocean of knowledge, but an ocean of understanding. An ocean of knowledge, an ocean of understanding, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows a lot more than what we know. And he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you just know what I know, you would have cried a lot more than what you've laughed. You would have cried a lot and laughed a bit. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that to the Sahaba. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba and he told them that if you know what I know, you would have cried a lot and laughed a bit, he said, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and described the Sahaba became so embarrassed that they start to cover their faces and cry. And the only thing that you could hear is the weeping and the crying of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in the gathering of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just with that phrase, just with that statement that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made to the Sahaba, if you just know what I know, you would have cried a lot and laughed a bit. If you just knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me know, you laugh very little and cry so a lot. You laugh so little and you cry so much. So the Sahaba became so embarrassed, they start to cover their faces, which is a sign of embarrassment. We have an elderly man or a matured man for him to cry in the public. No one likes to see themselves, or no one likes to see other people seeing him crying in the public. No one likes to see themselves being embarrassed. Especially when you're old, you like to try and avoid people seeing you crying. SubhanAllah, it's natural. It's not like a fault in you or anything. That's natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us this way. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they heard the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you knew what I know, you would have cried a lot, laughed a bit. So the Sahaba put their heads down, covered their face and started to cry. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, all I could hear that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu crying. SubhanAllah. That's the nature of the Sahaba. So I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to ask the question once again. The same question that I asked at the beginning of the lecture. When was it last that you cried? I'm not saying cried because you missed someone, or because you lost money, or you cried because you had someone from your family who was ill, or you lost someone who is close to you. No. I'm talking about crying because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remind you of the first question that I asked you to think about it throughout the lesson. When was it last that you cried because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. If you knew what I know, you would have laughed a little and cried a lot. You would have laughed very little. And you would have cried a lot. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and you would have also isolated everyone and went up to the mountains and just worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. If you just knew what I know. If you knew what I know, you'd have isolated everyone and just went on your own to the mountains, just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just experience what I've experienced. It's not easy, my brothers and my sisters. But it's also part of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah azza wa jal upon us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disclose to us, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make things visible to us, in which those things that if we see them, then we could sabotage the rest of our life. We can't move forward. We become very despondent. We can't, or we would no longer want to prosper in life, or we would no longer want to move forward in life, or would no longer want to do other things. So it's one of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to veil those things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveils those things on us, then it could be a torture upon us. So don't look forward to knowing everything the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew. You're talking about a different character here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can bear that information. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can bear that revelation. However, we can't bear it. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw things that we don't see. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the unseen. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to veil those unseen things. Otherwise, it would have been a big burden upon us. Would have been probably even a torture upon us. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah upon us. Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks about those who cry from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their excellence. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَا يَلِجُ النَّارَ رَجُلٌ بَكَى مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَعُودَ اللَّبْنُ فِي الضَّرْعِ وَلَا يَشْتَمِعُ غُبَارٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَدُخَانُ جَهَنَّمُ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever combine, Allah azza wa jal will never ever combine someone in the hellfire that cried from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you cry from the fear of Allah azza wa jal in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not cast you in the hellfire. If you cry from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, then you're not going to experience the hellfire in the hereafter. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the dust that's being created when someone is fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be combined in the hellfire. In other words, that those who fight for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla and uphold the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never experience the hellfire. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that those who cry from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they weep because of their love to Allah azza wa jalla, they will never experience the hellfire. They will never experience the hellfire in the hereafter. Because they cried in this dunya, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them laugh in the hereafter. But if you're going to laugh in this dunya, then you'll be from amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make cry in the hereafter. And I remind you of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks on behalf of Allah azza wa jalla in this hadith al-Qudsi, in this sacred hadith, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that Allah azza wa jalla says, I would never ever combine two security upon my servant, nor that I'll combine two fear upon my servant. If my servant secures me in this dunya, so he is relaxed and he's so comfortable in this dunya that he thinks he could do whatever he wants, she thinks that she could do whatever she wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then in the hereafter, I'll make them fear me. I'll punish them in the hereafter. But if they fear me in this dunya, I'll secure them in the hereafter, I'll make them enter the paradise. So you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the Jannah in the hereafter. Allah will give you security in the hereafter. You've got security in this dunya that you've got everything, and you want to do everything, and you want to indulge in anything. And you believe that you could do whatever you want, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that freedom, but you abuse that freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish in the hereafter. Because this is the mindset that a lot of people have. They have that mindset where, you know what? I am myself, I do whatever I want. Yes, Allah had given you the freedom, but don't abuse that freedom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that freedom with limitation, with boundaries. You can't just go and do whatever you want and indulge in whatever you want and commit whatever you want. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you that freedom, and that freedom within itself is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you over. So the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. And with that freedom, your freedom will determine whether you are to be the people of the paradise or you are to be the people of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the paradise. Ameen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this hadith, that those who cry and weep from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure in the hereafter. Those who laugh so much in this dunya, and I'm not referring, you know, I crack up a joke and laugh about it. No. We all crack up jokes. I just cracked up a few jokes. And it's our nature to crack up jokes. And we talk about, and you know, we laugh and we have a laugh and this and that. We're not talking about that. But there's a balance. There's a time that we laugh and there's a time that we cry. There's a time that we are happy and there are other times we are sorrow. There are times where we give and there are times that we take. So there are times that we cry and there are the times that we laugh. We need to balance our life. When it's time to cry, it's time to cry. When it's time to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's time to connect to Allah azza wa jal. When it's time for us to laugh, when we are amongst our friends, when we are with the families, when we are talking, when we are intermingling and socializing, yeah, that's time for us to laugh. And that's time for us to have a nice smile on our face. And Sharia wants you to do that. Islam wants you to do that. But unfortunately, you've got people, all they do is just laugh. Their entire life is just about laughter. Their entire life is about making mockery of other people. Their entire life, day and night, is just about laughing and enjoying their life. There's no balance. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in this hadith, in the following hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Sab'atun yudhilluhum Allahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluh. Imamun 'adil wa shabun nasha fi ibadatillah wa rajulun qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masajid wa rajulani tahabba fillahi ijtama'a 'alayhi wa tafarraqa 'alayhi wa rajulun da'athum ra'atun dhatu mansibin wa jamal faqala inni akhafu Allah." ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this hadith that there are seven people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under his shade when there's no shade except his shade in the hereafter. The seven people are not specifically seven people, but seven types of people. Seven category of people. So there are seven types of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under his shade when there's no shade except his shade in the hereafter. What shade are we talking about? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and orders for the day of judgment to emerge, and then people will die, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect all mankind and all beings. Allah will resurrect them on an earth different to this earth. It's not going to be this earth anymore. And heavens different to this heaven. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the sun so close to the heads of people, so close that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, just 1 mile above their heads. Right now, as we speak, with all the heat that we encounter, especially that we are coming to summer, and everyone now is preparing themselves, buy short sleeve clothes, put on or install an aircon, and so on, and get everything and prepare yourself, and which hotel we're going to go to, or swimming pool that we're going to attend, because it's hot. Especially when it hits 35 degrees or when it hits 40 degrees, and imagine places and countries that hit about 45 and 50 degrees, it's so hard. And if it hits 60, may Allah be with you. You're not going to bear it. Ours are some countries. I remember when I started in Pakistan, I was one of the hottest areas in the world. It used to hit about 53, 54. Wallahi, people right in front of you will drop dead. They can't bear it. This body, this structure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, can't bear. So can you imagine if it hits 60, for example? I don't know if it ever hit 60. People can't bear it. And that is that the sun is about 4 million kilometers away from us. Can you imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the sun only 1 kilometer and a half or 1 mile above your head? Imagine what would happen. Scientists say, if the sun is just to get closer to this world, 1 centimeter will burn this world. Just 1 centimeter. Can you imagine if the sun just gets closer? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that the sun gets closer to this world, 1 centimeter, this world will be burnt. It will burn this entire world. It will just blaze this whole world. And that is that the sun is about or even more than 4 kilometers away from us. Imagine the hereafter when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the sun early 1 mile above your head. So which shade are we talking about here? It is the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla will shade His servants. Those who shaded their life with the iman and sheltered their life with Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade them in the hereafter with this shade. But those who shaded themselves with evilness and wickedness and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll have no other shade except the sun to be above their heads 1 mile away. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the types of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under His shade when there's no shade except His shade in the hereafter. So one of them, and the first one, is Imamun Adil, a just imam, a just leader. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us a just leader. In which the Muslim world is in desperate need of a just leader. So a just leader. The second one is a young man or woman that dedicated their life in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Allah azza wa jalla, abstained away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one is a man's heart. So he is a man that his heart is connected to the masjid. That when he comes out of the masjid, can't wait for him to return back to the masjid. The fourth one are two brothers or even two sisters. This applies on two brothers or two sisters. They've met each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and continue to love each other for the sake of Allah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their souls away. The fifth one is a man that a very attractive woman seduced him to come and commit the haram with her. So he said, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Even though me and you are alone and no one is watching except Allah Azza wa Jalla, this man and this woman can be committing that sin. They could be committing that sin and no one would even know about it. But this man said, you know what? Even though that no one is watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, I'm going to turn away and I'll say, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fifth one is a man that a very attractive woman called him and seduced him to commit the haram. So he said, I fear Allah azza wa jalla. The sixth one is a man that donated with his right that his left doesn't know. Which means that someone donated in a very closed environment. He didn't go and boast about it until the entire world, you know what, I've donated today and I've given that much. And everywhere he goes and he posted it on Facebook, alhamdulillah, today I went to the masjid and I donated 100 bucks. And he took a photo, he took a selfie of himself, a nice selfie of himself donating in a donation box. This is me today, donating at Tayyumah 100 bucks. Well, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under his shade, in the hereafter, there's no shade except his shade. And one of those men or one of those women that donated to the right that their left doesn't know of, which means someone who donated in a hidden way, in a very discreet manner that no one knew of. And the seventh one is the one that we are talking about. So the first six, yes, we've mentioned them. But the seventh one is the one that relates to this topic. He is or she is وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنًا. And the seventh one is a man or a woman that remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude. Someone by himself. There's no one around. I'm by myself in my room. I'm by myself in my car. I'm by myself in my office. I'm by myself and there's no one around. I remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah! And then I start to cry. The heart just moved. Or someone read a verse from the Quran Karim on his own, when there's no one around. He's not there, wallah, because he wants to show off. Because some people want to show off. They read the Quran Karim and then they cry, or they make themselves cry, and force themselves to cry, so other people point at them and say, MashaAllah, this person is so devoting to the Quran Karim. This person is a devout Muslim. This person, MashaAllah, is so humble. No, no, no. But this one is a situation, or it is an event where you are on your own. There's no one around. No one is watching you. So there's no reason for you to make yourself cry. You remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You recited a verse from the Quran Karim. You thought of Allah azza wa jal. You said Allah and then the heart moved and then you start to cry. When was it last, my brother and my sister, that this happened to you? Here I am. I am by myself at home. No one is watching me. And just me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just thinking of Allah and I start to cry. I'm reading some verses from the Quran Karim and I start to cry. I thought of the great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this made me reflect on the greatness and the magnificence of this creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then I start to cry. So from amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under his shade in the hereafter when there's no shade except his shade is a man or a woman that remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude, by themselves, in isolation, there's no one around. They thought of Allah Azza wa Jalla and then they cried. They thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts moved. They thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they remembered Allah Azza wa Jalla and then they start to weep. So from amongst those are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade under his shade when there's no shade except his shade in the hereafter. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a great example when it came to acting upon and implementing what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached. In this following hadith, where Abdullah ibn al-Shukhayr radiyallahu or al-Shukhayr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yusalli wa li jawfihi azirun ka azir al-mirjal min al-buka. He says, Abdullah ibn al-Shukhayr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I went to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I encountered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying. But not only praying, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was crying from the bottom of his heart that you could hear his weeping and his sob from his chest. And this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. He is crying so much that this companion described the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the weeping of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. Not only that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dropping tears from his eyes, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is crying so much that you could hear his crying and you could hear his weeping and sob from the bottom of his chest. You know when someone cries so much that you could feel even the chest is crying. Even the chest is tearful. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was likewise. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray to Allah and read the Quran Karim, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing before Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would cry. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would cry. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is understanding and contemplating. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is connecting himself. And that's why my brothers and my sisters, why sometimes we don't cry? Number one, because our hearts are not connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. Our hearts are so distant away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so far away from Allah Azza wa Jal. We are so disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only mentally, but even spiritually. But when you are connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, you become so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel that connection, you feel that vibe. You feel the affection. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cry. Secondly, my brothers and my sisters, we don't ponder and contemplate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. Because one of the things that will make you cry, and one of the things that will make you be connected to Allah azza wa jal, is when you contemplate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ponder. You constantly contemplate and ponder, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an al-Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they're standing, while they're sitting, while they're lying down, while they're walking, while they're running, while they're by themselves or with others, during their good days, bad days, during their healthy days, weak days, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think about Allah azza wa jalla. They think about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we think about the creation of Allah? Because when you think about the creation of Allah, automatically you're also thinking about the Creator Himself. And then they say, Subhanak, glory be to you, Allah. How amazing you are, Allah. How magnificent you are, ya Allah. How powerful you are, Allah. How beautiful you are, Allah. How great you are, Allah. Subhanallah, amazing. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ponder and contemplate. Thirdly, my brothers and my sisters, why sometimes we don't ponder, or sometimes we don't cry or weep, or even connect ourselves to Allah azza wa jalla, is our lack of knowledge. We're not connected to the verses that we recite. We don't understand them. So alhamdulillah, we read the Qur'an al-Kareem, but a lot of the times we don't understand what we read. And I assure you that when you start understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you, you become a lot more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when you're not understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you. So it's important for you to start understanding the Qur'an al-Kareem. Understand the words of Allah azza wa jal. At least understand the verses that you constantly recite. Understand Surah Al-Fatiha that you read at least 70 times a day. Understand قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ عَذَبْ رَبِّ فَلَقْ قُلْ عَذَبْ رَبِّ النَّاسِ that you read at least 4 or 5 times a day. Understand those verses, understand those surah, those chapters, so you could at least connect yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal and feel that connection. Feel that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you start understanding what Allah Azza wa Jal is addressing you, then you become a lot more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then your heart starts to move. Your heart starts to tremble. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that in the Qur'an al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see His servants being connected to Him, not only by tongue, but also spiritually. Be connected to Allah Azza wa Jalla with your heart, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your physical body or appearance, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your actions and your deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your actions, your deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks in your heart. The last and final hadith here, hadith al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, wa'adana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maw'idatan wajilat minha al-qulub wa dharafat minha al-uyun. Subhanallah, beautiful hadith. Al-Irbad ibn Sariya, he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given us a good advice. One day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivered a sermon and advice to us. So important that the rest of the Sahaba realized that this sermon that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is delivering is different to the other sermons. It's different to the tone of speech of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and is different to the other sermons that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivered in the past. To the extent that the Sahaba told the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this sermon that you just delivered to us, it sounds like someone who's farewelling his own people. It sounds like someone saying to us, bye bye. You know, when someone's speaking to you, like, you know, your own father, for example, every day you speak to your father, how are you, dad, has things, and he tells you, alhamdulillah, has everything with you and that. But then one day you call your father, and your father's saying to you, please, look after your mum, look after your brothers, make sure that you fulfill this. You start thinking and saying, you know what, that's a different tone here. Yes, I understand, and it comes by default and naturally. But when your father's addressing you and he's talking to you in a tone that, you know what, this is the unusual tone that my father's talking to me. It looks like that he's farewelling me. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in a tone that the Sahaba picked up on and said, O Messenger of Allah, it sounds like you're a man that's speaking to his people and he's trying to tell them that I'm farewelling you, I'm departing and I'm walking away. Al-Irbad ibn Sari, he says, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had delivered this sermon, that the hearts moved and the eyes became tearful. وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. The hearts became so tranquil, the hearts trembled, and the eyes start to cry. Then they said, O Messenger of Allah, your tone of speech, your sermon, implies to us that you are farewelling us. So give us a nasiha. Now Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, the companions, they are emotional, but they are rational at the same time. They are emotional about their connection to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they're also rational. That it's not just about the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's about the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's about the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's about the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, guide us. You sound like someone who is farewelling his people. Therefore, give us a nasiha. What's your nasiha to us? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fi Allah, ittaqullah. That's the ultimate nasiha. That you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the fear of Allah azza wa jal is the key to every success. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key to every obedience to Allah azza wa jal. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key to the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. So fear Allah azza wa jal. What does it mean that you fear Allah? That your heart trembles. Your heart moves. When you think of Allah, your heart moves. When you read the Qur'an al-Kareem, your heart moves. When you hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart moves. When you hear the story and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your heart moves. Your heart shivers. It trembles. It humbles itself. You feel connection. Not only are you hearing it with your ears, not only just going through the ear and out the other. No, I'm hearing it. I'm not only hearing it with my ears, but I'm hearing it with my heart. Yesterday I was talking to the brothers and sisters in the SIC. I was talking to them about Hajj. And I was saying to them about the Kaaba. That when you gaze and look at the Kaaba, you don't look at the Kaaba with your eyes. You look at it with your heart. And that's why when you look at the Kaaba, you shake. You humble yourself. And you know what? If you really want to look at it with your eyes, there's nothing so special about the Kaaba. The UMA Center looks a lot more nicer than the Kaaba. It has a lot more features than the Kaaba. But why is it that when you look at the Kaaba, your heart becomes so connected? Why? Because you're not looking at the Kaaba with your eyes, you're looking at the Kaaba with your heart. And that's why when you hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't only hear the words of Allah azza wa jalla with your ears, but hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart. Hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually and mentally. But our problem is that we hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our ears. And a lot of the times when someone's reciting the Qur'an al-Karim, especially when you've got a reciter and he's got a beautiful voice, a qari, people are listening to him. And everyone's saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. But a lot of the times people are overwhelmed with the voice, they're not overwhelmed with the words. To the extent that when the reciter is talking about the hellfire, people saying, Allah! It's like, you know, I'm looking forward to it. But he didn't even think about the words that the reciter is reciting. He's thinking about how beautiful his voice is. Our ears and minds are attracted to the voice, not to the content. We need to start thinking about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reconnect ourselves to Allah azza wa jal. And my brothers and my sisters, one of the things that help you to be connected to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to start crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for your heart to move, is that you connect to Allah, as we mentioned before, you contemplate and you ponder, think. You think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You think of the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think about the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think about the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His forgiveness, His mercy. You think of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you think of the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared in the hereafter. You think of Allah. You think. That would help you to start weeping and crying and for your heart to start trembling. When you think, you contemplate, you ponder. And rarely that we think and contemplate and ponder. When was it that we sat down and we started just to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We think about our businesses, our families, about our holidays. We think about everything and everyone. But when it comes to Allah azza wa jalla, really that we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you. Understand the words of Allah. That will help you a lot. When you start understanding the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will help you a lot. That will make you understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you, and that will connect you to Allah azza wa jal. And that's why take an initiative in your life for you to start learning more about Islam. And since we spoke about that, I invite every single one of you to enroll at Sydney Islamic College. Subhanallah, it just came as a coincidence. I didn't plan for it, but it came as a coincidence. So I'm going to advertise it and promote it. This is an opportunity for you to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you. Enroll in Sydney Islamic College. Enrollments for 2017 are open for you to enroll. You can do it by attendance, which I recommend you to attend on campus here, or inshallah once we move to Padstar, or you can do it online. But it's an opportunity for you to learn and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. An opportunity for you to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you. So this is your opportunity. Sydney Islamic College. Visit sydneyic.org.au. sydneyic.org.au. And it gives you all the details that you need to know about this college. You'll be taught aqidah, tafsir, ulum al-Quran, interpretation of the Quran al-Kareem, fiqh, understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you, how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of these days, a lot of us, even till this day, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala incorrectly. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it from us, you know, wallahi, nothing disheartens me and upsets me as much as when I see a man that's been coming to the masjid for the last 60 or 70 years, and you look at his prayers and his prayers are incorrect. Why? Because it didn't even take that time of the day for him to go and learn and acquire knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly wants from him. So this is an opportunity for you to start understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. So your heart starts to tremble. Your heart starts to move. Subhanallah. Let me share with you, when I memorized the Qur'an al-Kareem, I first went to Pakistan and memorized the Qur'an al-Kareem. Then I traveled to Syria for me to learn Islam and understand Islam. Subhanallah. I memorized the Qur'an al-Kareem. That was one thing. When I started to understand what I'm reading, that was something totally different. Subhanallah, I've memorized the Qur'an al-Kareem. It's in me. It's in my heart and my mind. But when then I start to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to me, I was on a different level. Subhanallah, I felt like, you know what, I can't even believe this. When I memorized the Qur'an al-Kareem, I felt like I was on a different level. But then when I understood it, I felt like, you know what, I'm in a different sky. I'm in a different heaven. When you just understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, it's important. Important for you to take an initiative in your life for you to get and at least understand what Allah is talking to you. We read Surah Al-Fatiha at least 17 times a day, but till this day we don't even know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us. All we know is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Yes, we have a bit of understanding, but can you imagine if you get into the depth of the understanding? So not only you're reciting the Qur'an al-Kareem on your tongue, but even your mind and your heart is reciting it. When you read it and you understand what you're reading, not only that your tongue is moving, but your heart and your mind is moving too. And you've got the combination of everything. And then you feel, you know what, I'm connected now. I've pressed the right buttons here. There's some digits in your passcode that's missing. Yes, Alhamdulillah, you memorized it, but now you need to understand it. Once you understand it, it connects. And you find, you know what, this connection here. I feel I'm connected to Allah. You know what, I feel like Allah is really talking to me directly. Allah is addressing me. You feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's not going to happen by you saying, inshallah, inshallah. You need to take an initiative. You need to put some time and effort for you to acquire that knowledge. And that's why I invite every single one of you to enroll, inshallah, before we become fully booked, because that's what happens by the end of December. Usually we are fully booked and then we start saying to people, sorry, there's no more room for you, there's no more seat. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear, act upon what they listen and hear.